We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
When the Sox were running around and talking to everybody about Quintana, when we sat and talked about what would happen at the trade deadline, the Cubs, meanwhile, have been looking for a controllable asset, a young pitcher that they could control for a number of years moving forward for about, whatever, 18 months.
18 months.
And for a year, the Sox have been trying to trade this guy. So it was a perfect match, but we felt it wouldn't happen because of schoolyard allegiances.
Right.
Because you didn't want to give your guy to them. You didn't want to help them win. You didn't want to see your guy over there. And I think it was all White Sox, not Cubs. But I'm delighted that they got together on a deal, that they put that past it, that they didn't care about whether or not the Cubs would repeat before they could get into contention. And the White Sox traded their number one asset to the Chicago Cubs for young guys that will make the Sox a better team in the future.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruit and toot and fruit and.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
Fly ball, this is going to end the series. Cubs are going to sweep all three. Zobrist is there. Here comes Hayward. Hayward makes the call and the catch. And the Cubs win all three at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. In many ways, Ron, their best series of the entire season.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
And welcome in. It's 5:06 on the score. You got Mully and Hanley, Mike on vacation, and we are very happy that Joe Ostrowski is filling in for Mike today. Joe, how are you doing, man?
Doing well. Just had to walk 5 feet over from the room that I can't look out. No windows allowed. And, yeah, looking forward. And, you know, Pat Hughes mentioned, in some ways, their best series of the year. In what way was it not? Everything went right. It looked like the 2016 Cubs were back for a weekend.
Well, you and Wilson Contreras would share that thinking. And here's what was really, well, I mean, there was a lot to like over the weekend. You know, the Quintana debut was everything you would hope for as a Cubs fan and as a Cubs front office and as a Cubs team. You took advantage of a team. Now, they have a good home record, but that ballpark is a home run friendly ballpark. You hit 10 of them over the. You jumped to the lead in every single game. Now, Friday night got a little dicey. I was out at Hawthorne for a celebrity race, so I was watching on my phone, and it's 8-0. Next thing I know, it's 8-6, and now it's 8-8. And you're thinking, this cannot be the way you start the second half of the season. And thankfully, Addison Russell hit one of those 10 home runs, and you end up going away happy, and then you just club them the next 2 days. So you took advantage of a struggling starting staff and a baseball, a home run friendly ballpark, and you did. I mean, you added on. You kept the, you know, JD said a couple times during, you just, you know, keep the line moving, even with all those home runs. So that was good to see. But you know, now sustain it, right? I mean, it's great to sweep. It's great to have the first consecutive road victories on the same road trip since what, April? I mean, think about that.
We've been saying it forever, yeah, and that streak just kept rolling and rolling. And you're right, there are so many different aspects you could be impressed with, except for Friday, when they almost gave up an 8-0 lead,
right.
but they end up pulling out the victory thanks to Addison Russell's home run. But Saturday was absolutely amazing with the number of two-out hits. We didn't
see that all season, exactly right.
Situational yeah. hitting, runners
all
in
those
scoring
runs
position.
Coming after yeah. two were out.
Yes, absolutely. But let's not bury the lead. How'd you run?
Oh, one. We won.
You won.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a driver sitting with me, and they forgot to give me goggles, and I knew that was going to be a problem during the.
You didn't ask.
Well, I mean, I wasn't thinking about it, right?
Right.
I was sitting there talking to the horse in the barn and talking to the trainer and everything else, and no. then one of the sulkies had a flat tire in front of us, so they had to change or put air in the tire, so there was a little bit of delay.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of of it. It's been 9 years since I'd done this, right? I mean, and second last time. But anyway, so we're getting out in the warm-up, and all of a sudden here comes the gravel, you know, hit me in the – well, first it's just start the lower leg, and then it worked the way up as the horse started accelerating. We all of a sudden I'm getting a little taste of the track, and then it's hitting me in the eye. And I didn't see most of the race because I was trying to deflect all the gravel out of my ass.
You're told you won, though. And no cheating this time by anybody.
No cheating. And, okay. Yeah. And I, you know, the Mike Osling, he drove most of the race. I drove in the stretch and, again, couldn't see, but thankfully we were in front, so seeing wasn't a problem. There weren't any horses in front of us. But anyway, buried the lead, was watching the Cubs game there and really getting nervous that you can't blow an 8-0 lead, right? And then the Brewers are winning, and thank God the Phillies beat them yesterday. So you actually pick up a game, right? I mean, you're clubbing the Orioles, you're going to sweep them, and maybe not have
one.
Yeah, well, you do pick up a game, but I mean, maybe not get any. But it is interesting, because you mentioned now the Brewers are talking about Sonny Gray because they were supposedly very interested in Jose Quintana until the Cubs surprised everyone and pulled that off. It's interesting to start watching within the division both the Cardinals and the Brewers now. How do they respond? Do they get aggressive here? Because they're enjoying their time up in Milwaukee. All the Brewers fans are very excited that this team is in first place. And I know Theo was asked about Sonny Gray. What would it cost for a guy who's got a 500 record and plus four ERA? That's this year. He's been better in his last half dozen starts or so. You know, what do you have left to offer? Is it Candelario? Is it someone off the major league roster?
That's the thing.
Theo was asked about this Friday when the first reports that the Cubs may not be done shopping yet, that they might try to pull off a Sonny Gray deal. And the Cubs president said, well, let's take a look.
There are no rumors about us and Quintana, so you got to take that for what it's worth. Ask Wet. Right now we're taking a step back, take a breath, and kind of understand our roster and payroll dynamic. Looking forward now that we have Quintana in the fold, and we'll certainly still be active with phone calls at least this month.
He's going to be active, and I know that Jed said, you know, they'll probably take a deep breath, just like Theo alluded to, with 2.5 weeks or so to go to figure this thing out. And you have that all-important Brewers series right before the trade deadline up in Milwaukee. But now there are reports the Cardinals are sniffing around. They checked in on Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, we're going to get a lot of those.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also interested in maybe Marcell Ozuna, who had an acrobatic catch, save a home run yesterday. Christian Yelich, you know, the Marlins are going to be selling everything down there. Giancarlo Stanton has a full no trade. Does he want to leave South Beach, where he is idolized, to go to a contending team? J.D. Martinez in Detroit, Cardinals supposedly calling and asking about his availability, and the Brewers now supposedly shifting gears and talking to Oakland about Sonny Gray. So, you know, it's going to be interesting between now and the trade deadline to see who's actually serious about doing this. You know, the Nationals shored up their bullpen yesterday. So does that take...
Are they done? Because they need so much. Maybe, but now, what is the market for David Robertson? That's the real question. Now, you would expect it to happen as teams figure out, especially in the American League, which teams are the buyers, which teams are the sellers, who needs bullpen help. It doesn't mean he has to go somewhere and be a closer. You need that eighth and ninth inning guy. You need a few guys. And I still think Washington might be looking to add here. Their ownership just doesn't want to take on a lot of money.
Well, I know watching the game last night, the Red Sox-Yankees game, they spent a considerable amount of time talking about Todd Frazier possibly landing with Boston, which has been speculated. And, you know, being a Deadpool hitter, how much that would, you know, with the Green Monster and all, how much he might help the Red Sox. Bob Nightingale saying that's very much a possibility. And would they expand that deal with the David Robertson, Todd Frazier package to the Red Sox? So, yeah, we'll talk about it. There's a lot to talk about. The White Sox, unfortunately, on the wrong end of a sweep this weekend. Derek Holland apparently much better at making farewell music videos with a little sense of humor than he is still pitching. You have a 5-0 lead.
And remember when he had an ERA of 2?
Yeah. I mean, you really thought, okay, this guy could be an asset, or certainly, you know, someone you might want to keep around, and it's been a while since he's been that effective. But a lot to talk about. The bats were going for the Cubs. Jose Quintana was lights out yesterday. They head to Atlanta today. John Lester, how important is this start? He had been untouchable at Wrigley Field until those last two starts. And, they could have come back with him right out of the gate over the All-Star break since he lasted the one inning last Sunday. Chose not to. So he opens up the series against Atlanta, and then you have John Lackey. So, we've been talking about a long winning streak for the Cubs. And so with John Lester, you like their chances to extend it another day today. And then can John Lackey keep it going tomorrow?
The Sonny Gray thing, what's interesting is the Cubs were going to make a move for a starting pitcher with some control no matter what. Theo told this to you guys on the air two months ago, and he followed through. And that's exactly what they did. And they didn't have to touch the core. Nobody on the major league roster left. So they got exactly what they wanted, and they got the number one asset on the market. Now, as far as Sonny Gray goes, thinking, okay, you mentioned Candelario. That's a possibility. That's the only prospect now in their top 100,
right,
according to MLB Pipeline. And I don't know that Candelario's enough, looking at all the teams that are interested in Sonny Gray.
They would need more than that.
So you would have to take off the major league roster. Quintana is so much more valuable to me than Sonny Gray. You get an extra year of control. He's just a bottom line better pitcher. You don't have the injury risk. He's out there every fifth day for you, unlike Gray throughout his entire career. At this point, and they're going to wait and see how they play the next couple of weeks, but at this point, the Sonny Gray move, so then what, Arrieta, or however the order would work out, you move everybody back a little bit, or maybe Sonny Gray comes in and he's your fifth starter. Sure, that looks real strong, but I don't, if it's more for 2017, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense right now. You have to see how they play the next 2 weeks.
Well, and as far as that rotation goes, you have Kyle Hendricks with his second rehab start tonight back in Tennessee.
Right.
Hopefully they're going to double up his pitch count and he can get through it without any adverse effects. So then when he is green light to go, how do you, and how important are these next couple starts for John Lackey? If are they waiting to see if John Lackey can give them anything before they decide whether they need to add a Sonny Gray? And, Mike Montgomery, does he head back to the bullpen since, things haven't been going too well for him in the rotation, and Friday night was another example of that.
Yeah. Now he's been walking a lot of batters.
Yep.
There's a lot of trouble, and they saw this coming. And Montgomery, for now, for what you're looking for, you don't want him out there every fifth day. At this point, the pitcher he is right now, he's more value
much
to
more
Joe.
Valuable.
Much more valuable for Joe and to go and strengthen the bullpen, which is a strength of the team already at this point. And we saw what he did last year coming out of the bullpen. Eventually, they definitely want him to be a starter, but now's not the time. Every game is so important moving forward.
Okay, we're going to have a lot to talk about today. We invite you into the conversation. 312-644-6767 is our number here at The Score. You can always text us via the text zone, 670-11-67011. On the other side, we got the 5 at 5 coming back on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Wilson Contreras said Sunday of the Cubs, quote, "We are back. We are back to where we were last year." Are they?
I think I've learned one thing. One of the things I've learned of the Cubs this year is not to make proclamations every time you start feeling one way or the other about a team, good or bad, or this team in particular. We've learned that you start jumping to conclusions, you're probably going to be proven wrong. So I'm going to leave it at, it was a really, really good weekend for the Cubs in Baltimore, both offensively and certainly for Jake Arrieta and Wilson Contreras. I might go back to the Miguel Montero, they are good, we are good, because they were very good this weekend. They took advantage of bad pitching and a friendly home run friendly ballpark with the, was it JD or Len who said, I had not heard it called Camden Canaveral before. Is a nickname for the ballpark.
I haven't either.
That's the first I heard it. And they said it as if that's been for a while now. I always knew it as Boog Powell's barbecue place. but it was a launching pad over the weekend. check back with me in a week or so, because this is the stretch here with the Atlanta Braves, with a middling Cardinal team, and you'd love to put some distance between you and St. Louis, and then with the White Sox, who unfortunately have won one of their last eight games, and with the full rebuild is coming the full, you know, bottom of the barrel baseball. So you have to take advantage of this before the all important Brewers series. So they were back for a weekend, but I'm not about to make a proclamation beyond that.
Speaking of Wilson Contreras, he is on a roll, and he's been crushing left-handed pitching all year.
Did you see whose bat he was using
yesterday?
Victor Caratini.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
He said, yeah.
Thought it was Matt Caesar's.
No, he's his underwear. But yeah, as Caratini's, he said he had to thank his colleague and catcher that he had to borrow his bat, and all of a sudden he was ripping the cover off the ball.
Yeah, they're going to need to get a backup catcher probably.
Yes.
Sorry, Caratini, but you have a first-year catcher in Contreras who's playing great, hitting .429 his last 11 games, but that might be one of the smaller additions that they make in the next couple of weeks.
Joe being Joe said, two young guys, I could do that. Well, Chris Bosio was out with us.
Yeah, and let's get to the playoffs.
Chris Bosio was like, yeah, we need a veteran guy behind the plate. And, you know, how long, you know, Contreras, can he keep, you know, God bless him, he's out there each and every game. I guess Caratini is supposed to start tomorrow with John Lackey. How's that go down?
Oh, God.
I think they might want to rethink that, or might make that trade by tomorrow. Get
Avila?
Avila in here.
He might come in. Yeah, they believe it or not, it didn't feel like it, but the Cubs actually did have a couple of sweeps in the first half in the division against St. Louis and also against the horrible Cincinnati Reds. You need to see more. What we've seen from John Lester of late, especially in the last start, right before the All-Star break, they set it up so they could have Lester go a couple times, and he was absolutely horrible. We need to see how Hendricks comes back from this injury. Second rehab start tonight. When is he going to return? And then we have Lackey going in this series, too. As once Hendricks returns, he is your fifth starter. We'll get to that coming up. I love the home runs. You're not going to get 10 home runs every single series. So we are back, maybe. But we're not going to see this every single series. Need to see more. But Jed Hoyer brought up some good points, and he was consistent throughout the first half about this offense, that it's actually a positive. All these great players are down so much because you know it's going to come back a little bit in the second half, but they are not back yet.
No, I think it's a little early to say that they're back. The Orioles are a really bad team. They're in last place in their division, one of the worst pitching staffs in baseball. That being said, if the Cubs are in this mindset that they are all back and they've got their quote-unquote swagger back, or whatever you want to call it, then that's a very good sign for the team and for Cubs fans. Because if they play anything like this, whether it's offensively or the good pitching performances they had over the weekend, if they can get that going on a sustained roll and start to make up a little bit of ground on Milwaukee or even in the wild card race, as you see Colorado and Arizona falling back a little bit, that's interesting that the Cubs have now found themselves right in the thick of that thing as well. So they do have to get it going a little bit more consistently. Let's take a couple trips through the rotation here, see if that can steady out and get to where it needs to be, because without the pitching rotation, they're not going to be able to make up that ground. So they're not back quite yet. It's only three games, very impressive three games, but they're going to have to sustain it a little bit more because we've seen them up and down all year long, and I'm not ready to buy in quite yet after three games against a really bad team.
Yeah, I agree with the idea that it's a little too soon to tell. Wilson Contreras definitely sounds like he's drinking the Joe Madden Kool-Aid here. But as Kevin just alluded to, this was Baltimore as the league's worst pitching staff. And great, you lit them up like you should have, and you swept a team and won a series that you should have won, which the Cubs have not been doing. So that is nice to see, but it is too early to tell. Brian talked about this stretch of games coming up here is going to be this will determine whether or not the Cubs are back. You're playing the Braves. You should win the series against the Braves. You should beat the White Sox. See where we're at. We should bring this question back just ahead of the series against the Brewers.
Well, here's the problem. You know,
who used to be the Braves many years
well,
ago.
Yeah.
It looked good this weekend. You hate to have to come back, but you like the fact that they were able to come back, because if that goes the other way Friday night, we might be here today and they might have gotten swept in Baltimore or maybe won the Quintana game only yesterday. But I don't want to hear that it was the Orioles and they stink. What are we going to say on Thursday? Oh, it's the Braves. They were supposed to. So if they win 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 6, you can only beat the teams that are in front of you. Brewers should have swept the Phillies, right? And they didn't.
To get to 90 wins, you need to win 5 out of 6 on an every other week basis.
Absolutely.
And they weren't beating those teams in the first half. That's part of the problem.
The Cubs, had the worst interleague play record a week or so ago? So
they were swept by the Padres of all teams on the road. So they were capable of losing to bad teams on the road. So it is positive that they won a series on the road, even if it gets in against Baltimore.
I'd like not to answer any personal questions, but if you have any baseball questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
What was the most impressive aspect of that Cubs sweep?
Well, I think it's easy coming off the Sunday game to jump to Quintana, but that was not a surprise for me. Not saying I'm expecting 7 scoreless innings every outing from the guy. That is not fair at all. And it was still in an American League ballpark. I can't wait to see what he can do against some National League offenses while he gets to face the pitcher a few different times. But I have to go with the offense. You have to go with some of the guys that came through. Not so much guys that homered yesterday like Bryant or Rizzo, but the series started off right, not almost blowing that 8-0 lead, but offensively in clutch situations, especially Saturday. And then on Friday, you see what Schwarber did and Zobrist, Russell. That was the list of guys we were talking about as the first half came to a close. Which guy's going to have a big second half? Now, when all three of those guys are going at the same time, you saw what this offense can do. And I get that Baltimore is horrible as far as starting pitching goes. Over the weekend, their ERA was almost 17 just against the Cubs. They've been last with Cincinnati all season long.
They're north of 5 as a starting stat or as a team with the ERA. 139 home runs allowed so far.
But you have to. That even made the Quintana start so much more impressive because you're talking about a hitter's ballpark. But I have to go to the offense, and we've seen all year up down up down. Okay, one day 10, next day 1. One day 9, next day 2 runs. It's just been so erratic, just been an absolute roller coaster. A part of the thing that they need to reel off a long winning streak is the pitching, but they're also going to need to score some runs on a consistent basis, so I have to go offense.
Yeah, and I'll go right to the runners in scoring position, batting average of .481 over the weekend. Now think about that, because we were so used to 1-for-8 in those situations, 2-for-9 and offers and everything else, and getting guys out second and third base, and there they sit, and they you mentioned a lot of those were 2 outs, all of a sudden the key hit after key hit, and the home runs are great, 8 doubles. I'm also going to throw in again the Quintana performance, outstanding, but that's the third time he's had 10 or more strikeouts this year, and we know he got very little run support on the south side, and the fear was the way the Cubs offense was going, he might not get it yesterday. I'm going to go to the Jake Arrieta performance on Saturday.
There you go.
3 walks, 1 earned run, usually using basically 2 pitches. I mean, if you're going to win anything this year, as much as you need Zobrist and Schwarber and those other guys we've been talking about in one of our questions at the tail end of last week, which guy does get fixed which guy gets fixed first, whether Schwarber, Zobrist, whomever. You're going to need Jake Arrieta and a good, not Bob Gibson-esque Jake Arrieta from a couple years ago, from Cy Young Jake, but you need better than mediocre Jake or worse than that for Jake. So I think, and I know it was the old stomping ground, first time back since the trade, and he went back to the old neighborhood and checked out where they lived and some of the old restaurants he used to like to frequent, whatever his comfort level was over the weekend. Here's hoping that continues and wasn't just a Baltimore thing.
Last year it was you go, we go with Fowler. But with this year, the team seems to go, even though he's out there only once every fifth day, the team has gone how Jake Arrieta goes.
Yeah.
If he has a good start in his turn, it's usually going to end up being a pretty good week. If he's down, things go down because Lackey's been down a whole bunch.
The offense was something to see, for sure. Those games were not lacking in firepower. What was it, 29-30 runs scored over the weekend? Pretty impressive against anybody of the major league quality, even if it is Baltimore. But I have to say, Jose Quintana, of course. Every White Sox fan here, and every White Sox fan I've talked to, agrees that every time Quintana will take the bump for the Cubs, they will be rooting for the Cubs that day. I was the same yesterday. I was so sick of seeing this guy underappreciated and underrated for so long that I'm almost glad now that he's gone from the White Sox to the Cubs, because when you're on the White Sox, nobody pays attention to you. And even though you're one of the best pitchers in baseball, nobody really notices. And if you're on the Cubs, even if you're not that great, people will think you're a Hall of Famer. So people will level out on Jose Quintana now and will realize how damn good he is, the fact that he's been one of the best 10 pitchers in Major League Baseball since 2013. I'm glad that he's going to finally be on a bigger stage now. He was so good yesterday. Hopefully more of that to come. Jose Quintana is the answer here. He's now the best starting pitcher on that staff, and I hope he goes on an incredible run here.
Yeah, I have to get on board. Although it was great to see Quintana, then it was an awesome outing. The offense all weekend long was just as everyone else has said, has just been that's so solid, and they've been lacking. Joe talked about it in the first segment of the show. That situational hitting was on display, and then you had Bryant with a 19th homer yesterday, three hits. Jason Hayward looked good the entire season on the offense and defensive end, but offensively he looked great. Contreras had four hits yesterday, a career best. So this is really good. It was really nice to see the offense look solid for three games in a row. An entire series of good Cubs offense is what we haven't been seeing all season, so it was good to see.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. It's really tough to narrow it down. Everybody's given a great answer. But Jason, you know, Ray just brought up Jason Hayward there, and he had an unbelievable catch, right? Timely hitting. Seems to be comfortable in that 6-7 kind of area. Also, and we kind of gave him a hard time, and he deserved it, Wilson Contreras, right before the All-Star break. But as Joe mentioned also, I mean, the guy has been outstanding at the plate. And he's having fun. I think he lends a little fun to that clubhouse. Not that Chris Bryant is a fantastic baseball player, but he's kind of just
kind of a quiet guy.
Yeah, he's just a nice cold glass of water. He's just
Wilson likes the spotlight.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Absolutely. So that he was really impressive. And I know they need a backup catcher that with some experience, but he's going to catch like 95% of the games going down the stretch. You can't take that bat out of the lineup, all if he's healthy, of course. But he's not a rookie catcher, okay? It's like the rookie of the year garbage that we talk about every year, okay? This is his second year. He played last year. He's experienced. He caught basically every game in the World Series.
He also caught something else a little below the belt yesterday.
Wow.
Did you hear JD talk?
That was so funny.
I couldn't believe he went there.
So and the smirk, the camera guys did a great job on it on ABC. The look on Matt Smith, hey, they're just all giggling. They're all like giggling to each other on the inside.
Yeah.
There's another Cubs question, but that's why I'm here.
Are the Cubs making a mistake having John Lackey start on Tuesday?
No, because right now you have to see what you have here in John Lackey. Now, I don't know what the number is between now and the trade deadline. Again, we've talked about this in general terms. If John Lackey continues to struggle the way he has, and again, relatively speaking, the last outing at Wrigley Field where he only allowed three runs was much better than we've become accustomed to this season, unfortunately, John Lackey. But if he is going to find his way out of this rotation, whether because you make another deal or whatever it is, or you just can't afford the luxury of keep giving him the ball, then what do you do with him? Because he doesn't seem to lend himself to the bullpen. He doesn't seem like he would have that mindset to want to go out there.
He wouldn't be dancing?
No, he wouldn't join the dance party, even with his custom Cub cowboy boots. So, you got to give him the ball here the next two or three times through the rotation and see that if he can't get better. But if he's still a guy who's allowing home runs more than he should and everything else, you can't afford that. You can't afford to have the team let down like that and be behind the eight ball with him going out there. So if he's not in the bullpen, then if the Red Sox can DFA Kung Fu Panda for with what 50
halfway
million,
through a 95 50
million
dollar
left
contract.
On
yeah.
50 million left on the contract, 49 whatever it is, I mean, you talk about eating money. Now obviously John's in the last year of his contract, so it's that what's going to cost you about 10 or so, 9 or 10 million. That's where it's headed. I mean, if he doesn't get his act together, I just don't see him as being a guy who's going to go happily out to the bullpen and just be a good team player. So it's time for him to put up or shut up.
Yeah, your other options are Mike Montgomery and Eddie Butler.
Right.
Now, I like Montgomery, but his last three starts, 4 1/3, 3 innings,
yeah,
2 1/3. It is pretty similar for Eddie Butler. 1 1/3, 2 innings, 4 innings, 3 2/3. No, this is your only chance, because to get anything out of Lackey, you need him in that rotation. I don't know what he's going to give you, but I feel better with him as your fifth starter instead of being forced into the middle of rotation. And that, see, that's how this Quintana trade just changes everything. And Hendricks is almost back. I wonder if Hendricks would have pitched this weekend or even today didn't make that Quintana trade.
Yeah.
Just placing in Quintana just changes the entire thing.
I think they said if the trade wasn't made, they were going to roll Hendricks out after the 45-pitch double-A start. And here's the thing, you know, if Quintana can give you six, seven innings, Arrieta can start doing that. Then maybe you can carry a 4 or 5 inning John Lackey, or a 5 inning John Lackey anyway. But when every starter was barely getting through the fifth inning, that's when you can't afford John Lackey. If everyone's getting into the bullpen each and every day, you're in trouble. So if these other guys start going a little bit deeper into games, maybe you can carry John Lackey for a while.
And let's not forget, I feel like anytime John Lackey struggles, we overreact and say, oh, look at John Lackey, he stinks, he's done. 3 of his last 4 starts, he's had quality starts against Tampa, Washington, Miami, and Pittsburgh. If he can do that 3 out of 4 times, or even 3 out of 5 times as your fifth starter, I'm fine with that. You can survive.
It does seem like John Lackey's struggles are a little bit more amplified because he's so ornery and ticked off all the time and just has a face that you just want to hate. And I understand that. And he's not been very good this year. He's actually been a below WAR player, according to Fangraphs. So he's actually costing you when he's out there.
And the home runs.
Yes, Dustin loves when I bring up the WAR. I know.
When a guy's giving up the number of home runs that he's been giving up, that catches your attention.
Yeah, his home runs per 9 innings, 2.2 right there. So that's really bad, Dustin. If you want me to explain it to you during the break, I can do that as well. I don't know who else you want to put in there. Who are your other options that are available? You have to let this guy get his starts until you have a better option, until everybody's back healthy, you make another trade, you bring somebody up, you do something. Until the numbers fill out, John Lackey has to be in the rotation whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I completely agree with Kevin. I mean, what do you, that's the question. What would you do if, I mean, Mike Montgomery's
Stop
last
talking,
few outings.
I'll tell you.
Well, Dustin has his answer coming up here, but I mean, yeah, you have to keep Lackey in the rotation. I mean, Mike Montgomery's last few outings, as Joe indicated, not very good. We still don't have Kyle Hendricks back. So, yeah, until you get Hendricks back and until we have maybe Mike Montgomery looking a little better, you gotta keep him in. But Dustin has his take on it.
Well, so if they didn't trade for Quintana, we'd already see Kyle Hendricks.
That supposedly was
okay,
the plan.
So if that's all true, and I'm not saying it's not, but let's just go with that's true. I'm not saying that John Lackey should be out of the rotation, but I might have given more time. He doesn't need to get into a lather or a rhythm or anything. He was great last year and the year before that for them against who? The Cardinals. Who do they play at the end of this week? The Cardinals. Now, if I get the math right, he probably is on pace to go Sunday night baseball against the Cardinals. But, I mean, I would have had him starting against the Cardinals for sure. And I might be bringing Kyle Hendricks up Tuesday instead of giving him more extra time. If he was ready to go, if he would have been ready to go for Baltimore, I don't understand why he wouldn't have him ready to go against the Braves. And now he's going to potentially make his first start against the Cardinals, who I know the Braves are playing okay, but I still think the Cardinals are a better team and there's a bigger atmosphere.
And it's a more important game,
right,
division game.
Right. So I would have liked to have seen Kyle Hendricks get up and running a little bit more sooner. So I would have started Lackey against the Cardinals, but I don't know that they need to have him going this quick, this soon, with what he's been up to.
That's a great question.
Ricky Renteria said he's not worried about Tim Anderson's Major League Worst 21 errors, but should he be?
Yeah. We haven't reached the 100-game mark, and we're already at 21 errors, which, by the way, is 7 more
than anybody
in baseball. Yeah. That is quite a wide gap. And you know,
which positions are you playing?
Shortstop, one of the most important positions. What do you say? You go up the middle as far as defense. If you're strong there, you're strong everywhere. Catcher, second, short, and center field. And no, it's been struggles. I'm not worried about the contract, though. I think some people will be concerned. Oh, they with such little service time, they set a record giving him such a long contract. I don't think that's going to matter because the kids that are coming up, you're looking at 2020, 2021, and that's going to be nearing the end of Tim Anderson's contract. And we've seen guys struggle when they come up and they play on a regular basis. This is just his second season at this level. You know, a year ago at this time, we were talking about Tim Anderson being called up. So a lot of this is completely normal. But I'm a little alarmed because at this rate, he's going to end the season with around 30 errors or something like that. So I'm concerned, but not freaking out. Let's remember how young he is.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you're shortstop, and I get what Renteria was saying, well, he gets to a lot more baseballs than other more limited shortstops, therefore he has more opportunity to make errors. Okay, that's a nice positive spin on a really bad statistic. And it's a really bad statistic. Well, you combine that with the 27% strikeout rate. I mean, there you know, this is not a shortstop. That's, you know, the guy who can't field and the guy who strikes out way too much. That's normally not your prototypical shortstop. And I get it, Joe, that he's still a young guy. And he's 24, though, right? I mean,
24.
Yeah, it's not 21. It's 24. I was one of those guys who thought that the Tim Anderson should grab the pen and sign that contract when it was offered, because I thought that I didn't understand really the thinking. I mean, I understand the thinking, but I didn't think that was the player you wanted to lock up at $25 million. And it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but with the White Sox, that's a lot of money. He's on my watch list. I mean, I get that it's, you know, second season and all that, but it's happening on a way too often basis, and I think that might be who the player is. And if you're going to at some point 3 years from now, whatever, contend for a division, he can't be your shortstop if this is what it's going to look like.
Well, certainly if this is what it's going to look like, then I would agree with you, Brian. But I think for a guy that's played, what, 180 games so far in the major leagues, I think it's too soon to tell what he's going to be. Defensively, as a rookie, he was outstanding. I think that was one of the reasons I was pretty good with the $25 million guaranteed that they gave him, because my thought was, even if he never becomes a good hitter, if he keeps striking out all the time, if he doesn't walk and this, that, and third, if he doesn't develop offensively, you still got a very, very good, reliable defensive shortstop for the years to come. And now this year, he's regressed so much defensively. 21 errors in 81 games is just horrible. That's bad. I don't care if you're a shortstop and the ball's coming to you all the time. That is so bad. And if you watch him play, he's making all of these off-balance throws. His footwork is all off. I don't know what the hell is going wrong with him. He's regressed offensively as well. But the defensive thing is what really worries me. So I know Ricky Renteria is kind of one of these Joe Maddon disciples, a positive attitude guy who's always looking at the sunny side of things, unless he's talking to an umpire, apparently. But
wow.
I am concerned. I think Ricky should be concerned. I think White Sox fans should be a little concerned right now as well, because this is a guy that you had a lot of hopes invested in. I don't think he's ever going to be a perennial all-star, but at best, you would hope that he could be a guy that could fill in for you for 150 games and play good defense, and right now he hasn't been that.
How many times has Renteria been tossed? Eight
six.
This year?
Six. Yeah.
And
career high.
He was barely out of the dugout when he got tossed Saturday night. I you know, the soft-spoken Ricky Renteria, who can cook up a nice meal for you, too, I didn't think he'd be sitting there with six ejections halfway through the season.
Yeah, 21 errors. Very, very definitely alarming. But yeah, it's clear Ricky Renteria is going to give him a long leash here. You got to hope. You just have to hope that he can go. You're at the second midway point of the season here. You're in the second half of the season. Maybe he can look a little better in the second half of the season, not be so sloppy on defense. You just have to hope for that. And he's a young guy. Hopefully he can get some confidence and look a little better defensively, because he's going to have to. You got to hope Joe Maddon doesn't pull Ricky Renteria doesn't pull a Joe Maddon with forcing the issue with leaving him at shortstop with accumulating a bunch of just ugly errors.
Well, publicly, of course, he should not let us know. But internally, yes, I think you'd have to be. But they know what they have. I think we talked about the contract. Was it a bigger risk for Tim? Was it a bigger risk for the Sox?
Right.
I still think the whole deal makes sense for both sides at this point. You're going to build around his. The thing about him, too, is you need him now more for defense than you do for offense, based on who you
the,
have in
the plan, right? What's coming up in the future. So work on that. Now, he's got the rest of the season to work on it. He's going to have the offseason to work on it, spring training to work on it. Get him a guy. If you have to get him a guy inside the organization, bring Ozzy back, right? Ozzy wants to make nice with the Sox, maybe. Have Ozzy tutor him a little bit, something. I don't know.
I don't think Ozzy's going to.
That'd be uncomfortable, yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, you don't have to make a big dog and pony show out of it. Whatever you got to do, he needs some extra help. Who's their infield guy, right? I mean,
Rick Renteria was last year. Under Robin.
Joe McEwing has gotten a lot of praise for his work with the infield.
But Ricky last year was getting a lot of love for doing all the video work and positioning defensive players in the infield and positioning. Now, again, that maybe is not the same as footwork and in arm angles and throwing off balance and all that. It's just having guys where they're supposed to be.
And he's had a rough offseason, too, off the field. I think he's still not completely right.
A lot of personal stuff.
Yeah, when his best friend was murdered.
Yeah.
Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question.
Since the Nationals traded for two relievers, are you concerned about David Robertson's trade market?
No, because Rick Hahn got a price for Jose Quintana that I didn't think he would extract from the Cubs with him as being part of that. And so, I think maybe now the Astros are kicking themselves because they're kicking the tires on Jeff Samardzija, who gave up, more than seven runs yesterday? I know the advanced numbers on Samardzija is that he still goes six innings on most of his starts, and his FIP is 3.44, 3.5, somewhere in there. So he's
not going to walk anybody.
No. But when he gets roughed up, as we know, we saw it on both sides of town, when he has that one inning where he can't get out of the inning, it can look pretty ugly. But, the Astros are now looking at that instead of Quintana. So maybe they should rethought about paying the premium that Rick Hahn was asking for Quintana. So I think Rick's going to do right by the White Sox, and whether it's the Red Sox and pairing him up with Todd Frazier, that seems to make all the sense in the world. I think they'll be fine with David Robertson. Again, it's going to come down to how much money do they want to eat in order to increase the value of the prospect coming back their way. And so if it's going to be just a money dump, well, then you're not, don't hold your breath for anything exciting coming back the other way, because Todd Frazier is not going to get you a lot by himself, if anything. So if you package those two guys and you eat some of that salary, now maybe you're talking about adding to your already much, much, much improved farm system.
A week ago, I would have said no. A day ago, I would have said I'm absolutely not concerned. I'm a little worried now, but we do understand the value of relief pitching, especially this time of year. That's the way the league has gone. Everybody in the last week of the trade down the line looking to add relief pitching. Those are the guys that end up winning games and losing these playoff games with these seasons on the line. But, what's interesting is as the AL tries to sort itself out, you go from team to team, and there's a lot of teams you say, okay, they're in the mix. Sure, they can use a reliever at the end of games, but are they going to take on that money? The White Sox might need to take on that money because of next year with Robertson due $12 million. If it was an expiring contract, he'd probably already be gone. But that might be part of the issue. Are you going to get this out of Robertson at the end of the year and again next season while he's closer to his mid-30s? That's the big question, because you go around the league, okay, do the Twins want to make an addition? Well, they don't have the money. What does Kansas City do? Are they going to add relief pitching at the end? I mean, it doesn't mean that Robertson has to walk in and be the closer. You can go and add an eighth inning guy, but I don't know how much some of these teams are willing to pay when you go to D.C. and their ownership wasn't willing to pay, and they just kept blowing game after game because of the relief pitching.
By the way, I mean, you see the Yankees and Chapman now, his last three or four appearances,
right,
over five, I mean, getting roughed up. And I know that, the conversation, Joe Girardi connected some dots of the way the Cubs and Joe used Chapman at the end of last season, and that he's probably paying the price for it with the shoulder or
sure,
whatever. But they and Patances hadn't been all that great either. So, the Yankees going to pay a premium, and obviously they have money, but they've been trying to get and shed salary too over the last couple of years and get back toward, not being the outlier when it comes to money spent.
And we should have known that a deal wasn't going to work with Washington as Robertson. And I'm assuming a deal does not work at this point, because we saw the way that they went, give up less prospects, get cheaper guys and bring them in. And they've been very productive. The guys from Oakland that they got in return, they get a lefty and a righty. But when you're talking with someone for 8-9 months and you can't work out a deal, at some point, okay, let's just go in another direction. That's what it looks like the Nationals did.
No concern with me whatsoever on a Dave Robertson trade. He's in a league where relievers are so important in the playoffs. Year by year, we see more and more emphasis on the bullpen. And a guy like David Robertson, who's been doing it for, what, 7-8 years now, if you go back to his time with the Yankees, he's been one of the most consistent right-handed relievers in all of baseball. I never expected to get a Gleyber Torres or a Clint Frazier, a top-of-the-echelon-type prospect for David Robertson, but I still think you can get a decent return for him. And yes, I still think they should trade Swarzak and Canely before their value drops anymore as well, because they've been kind of rough lately, too. So, yeah, you know, you can still get something for David Robertson. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned either. I mean, he looks good for teams that are looking for a late-inning guy for their bullpen. I mean, he's been good on 13 of 14 save attempts. His ERA is nice, 2.78. And there's a report I read in the New York Post here. Yankees are looking, they're setting their sights on Robertson and Todd Frazier, so a package there. So there's a market for Robertson. I'm not concerned.
Exactly what Ray said. So hopefully what happens if you're a Sox fan is that you get the Yankees and Red Sox
fighting
against each other, right? And drive it. Because we've all, it's all been, from the start of the season, you thought that Todd Frazier to the Red Sox at some point was going to happen. So now you get the Yankees and the Red Sox bidding against each other. Both those teams have money. Maybe whoever takes on more of that contract will be the winner of that, and the Sox won't have to worry about eating part of the salary to make the deal.
All right, there's our 5 and 5. We'd love to hear your contributions, your takes on our questions. As Wilson Contreras said, that we are back. The Cubs are back to where they are last year. Do you agree with the catcher, the Cubs catcher? What was the most impressive aspect of the Cubs sweep? Are the Cubs making a mistake having John Lackey take the bump tomorrow against the Atlanta Braves? Ricky Renteria said, not worried about Tim Anderson's MLB worst 21 errors. Should he be? Are you, if you're a Sox fan? And the Nationals shored up their bullpen. They're one area that where they desperately needed help. Are you concerned now that David Robertson's trade market is not all that? 312-644-6767. If you'd like to join the conversation, we welcome your text 67011.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.